Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Monday, it's the CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
I need at least a month to prepare for a debate, not 6 hours.
Actually, it's 4 hours.
No, my watch is broken too.
With Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, and guest star Wayne Brady.
You gotta fund the schools or graduate fools.
That stole all my lines.
Look, don't worry, I got a plan.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay, so I don't have a plan.
A new episode of The Neighborhood.
You're gonna have to give them a show.
Monday, 8, 7 central on CBS.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show, and also happy Easter to you all. It is a grand and glorious day for those of us who have deep faith in Jesus. It is the assurance that death has lost its sting. It no longer has any power or victory over us. We have conquered it as we have placed our faith in Jesus. What a wonderful promise that is. Leadership guru Stephen Covey once said, begin with the end in mind, with success in business. The same is true in your spiritual lives. Begin with the end in mind. Get the death issue settled. Get that one off the table, and you'll no longer have to worry about it, and then you can enjoy the rest of your life. Really, what death is merely going to sleep. You close your eyes on this side of eternity, and you wake up in the presence of Jesus. Therefore, amidst the COVID-19 crisis, amidst the fears of death that are so prevalent in our culture surrounding us, we can know with absolute assurance that our lives are in Jesus. He has granted us the gift of eternal life, and Easter is not only the one day of the year we celebrate this reality, it should be something we celebrate every single day of our lives. Death has no more power over us. So let me begin the show today by simply reading the Easter story from Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. As for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." Folks, may I read that again? "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." Let me read that again. "For he has risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." Second time in the story. Let me read it again. "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Can you imagine the absolute awe in the women's sight when they knew they had buried a dead body just a couple of days earlier, and now Jesus is alive? It's a wonderful thought. Could we dare get that deeply etched in our minds and souls, that Jesus is not dead? He is alive. And those of us who live in him because he lives, we live as as well. COVID-19 crisis, do what you will. If death is the final deal, that's fine, because it's not God's final deal. It's not his final say, I'm going to live forever. That is the Easter narrative. That's what the story is all about, and that's what we're going to focus on today, remembering the resurrection, letting that be etched deeply into our memory banks as we face not only this COVID-19 crisis, but all crises in our lives. We do so in resurrection reality with the hope of Jesus in us. Obviously, everyone, I have to again record from home, honoring the quarantine and social spacing command of our leadership, and I want to honor that in every possible way. Next to me, I do have my wife. I'm sorry she's not quite
six feet away,
but she is going to help me do this show because she holds this wonderful reality of resurrection hope in her heart as well. Marilyn, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you too, David, and to everybody that's listening.
When you read Matthew 28, doesn't it astound you? And how Jesus says twice in that narrative, or the angel once, then he does the other time, don't be afraid.
The words are timely and they're current. And it seems like he wrote them and read them and spoke them just for today, didn't
he? He did know that we would need to hear those words over and over again. Someone purportedly went through the Bible and found 365 different times where God says in his word, don't be afraid. And perhaps if that's true, that's one for every single day of the year. God wanted us to wake up, not with any fears in our hearts, not with anxieties overcoming our souls. God wanted us to awaken every day with the reality, don't be afraid. He is with us. He cares for us. And if the resurrection gives us any other insight, it's this one, that God really cares. He does not want us to live in fear. He wants to be with us. He wants to give us the assurance of victory over sin and death and the enemy, and he wants us always to live in that great fear. Everyone, happy Easter. Today's show is entitled Remember the Resurrection. We'll get into that reality in just a moment. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back.
WBT, a radio.com station.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. And that song reminds all of us the good news that Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. In case you don't know what that Hebrew word hallelujah means, it divides up two different phrases in Hebrew. Hallel, which means praise, and Yah, short for Yahweh, the Hebrew name for God, praise God. You're basically saying Jesus Christ is risen today. Praise God, hallelujah. It is a wonderful reminder to all of us that death has lost its power over us. As we trust in Jesus, what happened to him is going to happen to us. We're going to live in the resurrection power that he has given us. Romans 8:11, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives within those who believe. That means that when we put our heads down to go to sleep and our earthly bodies cease, that we can then wake up in the presence of the one who has given us the gift of eternal life, because we live in him, he lives in us, and we have that reality of eternal life forever. So today I want to talk to you about remembering the resurrection. It is a key point throughout the scripture. We need to remember the resurrection. But let's start first of all, along with my wife Marilyn, who is next to me here, on understanding the power of memory. It's something that God has given us. Now, some of us would wish that our painful memories would go away. But even they are there for a purpose from God, because we learn lessons from life. And when we go through a painful experience, we remember it so that we just won't do it again. But also, we need to remember especially those good things that have happened to us. Remember how our minds are flooded with such powerful forces when we remember that song that we love so much. We remember the first time we met our beloved and we fell in love and we spent many years with that person. We remember that first job that we got. We remember that first victory in the sport that we chose to play in. There's something very powerful about memory. And Marilyn, you've written some about that yourself, the power of memory.
Yeah, David, you know, I think memories are, well, first of all, we like to reflect on memories. That's part of what we build as a family, isn't it?
It is.
We have collective memories, and we share memories with our children. And it's interesting, when you're getting together with your family, sometimes if you'll think about your conversation, often what you're reflecting on are the memories. But then also, I've noticed, as our kids are grown now and we have grandkids, a lot of times when they ask me for my advice, and of course I'm getting smarter as they're getting older, right?
Right, exactly.
I think I'm smarter and smarter, maybe much more so than they did when they were teenagers. But anyway, when they ask me for advice, it was funny the other day, I was struck by how often I draw back from my memory bank and I pull back, you know, something that happened or something that we did. That it's a lesson learned. And even in the area of how God worked in all of our lives, it's amazing how when you reflect back on, well, this is how God came through for our family in this situation. And then, of course, we all talk about it and we think about it and we all remember that. But it makes you realize that God can do it again. And somewhere along the way, I even started collecting little mementos to remind me of little markers, little spiritual markers along the way for all of us, where God acted once, and then we believe he could do it again.
Well, that's the basis of the miracles that God did for the Jews, for example, in the Hebrew Testament. The most outstanding miracle that God did for the Jews as he took them out of Egypt toward the Promised Land, as he removed them from their slavery to make them sons and daughters in kinship with him, they were faced with an awful situation. Before them was the Red Sea. To one side was a mountain range. To the other side was a desert plain. And behind them came Pharaoh and all of his armies trying to bring them back into that slavery relationship with him. It seemed absolutely hopeless. But Moses said, stand back and see the deliverance of the Lord. And then with a mighty hand and an outstretched rod, Moses lifted it high to heaven, and the people watched as God blew a wind down and parted the Red Sea. Now, that within itself is an unbelievable miracle, God parting the Red Sea. But then there's something else that happened that was, I think, every bit as much miraculous as the parting of the sea itself. The people then walked across the sea on dry land. Now, think about that. That everything became perfectly dry for them to walk across the sand bed on completely dry sand to get to the other side. They all did that, almost 3 million people. Then upon the other side, as the Egyptians were pursuing them with the walls of the sea mounted on each side, God then let the waves collapse upon Pharaoh as his judgment of wrath upon them and their disobedience against his holy will. So the miracles were, first of all, the parting of the Red Sea. Secondly, the dry land that they walked across the Red Sea. And then thirdly, God's judgment upon Pharaoh and them being set free from that bondage forever. Now, what's so interesting as you read the story of the Red Sea's parting in the book of Exodus, it's not just mentioned there. Throughout the entire rest of the Old Testament, God constantly tells the Jews to remember the Red Sea, to remember his miracle, to remember the parting of the waters, to remember what he did with that supernatural, miraculous moment. In fact, 40 years later, when they finally did enter into the Promised Land, in Joshua 2:10, Rahab the harlot referred to the fact the people knew of the parting of the Red Sea and that made them fear God. Folks, that was 40 years earlier, but yet that miracle stayed in the memory banks even of God's enemies, especially in God's children. It was there as well. You read in the book of Psalms, for example, David says, God, you parted the Red Sea. Your steadfast love endures forever. Even there, hundreds of years later, David referred back to the Red Sea's parting as a memory for the people of God to always have in their memory banks as a way of God coming through for them. So the people of God in the Old Testament were told to remember the Red Sea. It was a constant marker for them of a miracle from God. And again, like Marilyn, you just said, if God did it once, he can do it again. And that's why he told them to remember the Red Sea.
Well, and it's interesting, David, he not only told them to remember, but he chastised them at several points throughout their history for forgetting his miracles. He's saying, you acted like I never did these miracles. Remember my miracles. I don't know how many times he said remember, but it's a lot. And then he, again, rebukes them for forgetting. And I think it is so easy. And that's why we can't really base our faith on miracles. Miracles are wonderful, and I think we all have our miracle stories. But our bedrock faith has to be based on what Jesus did for us. Because once a miracle's over, so often in human nature, we always say, okay, Lord, I need another miracle to keep believing. And that they're good markers, but they're not your bedrock. Am I right on that?
You are right on that. If you live from miracle to miracle, that probably means you're living from crisis to crisis. And I think God would prefer that we live by faith and we see his gifts to us every single day so that we don't live from miracle to miracle. But having said that, God does want us to experience his miracles in our times of need and never forget them. So for the Jew, it was remember the Red Sea, mm-hmm. remember the parting of the Red Sea. Never forget that. Even hundreds of years later, they were reminded, don't forget the Red Sea. That was God's one miraculous moment that freed you from Egyptian slavery. Now, for the Christian, though, the Red Sea is a wonderful miracle as well. And those of us who love the Bible and read the Bible, we believe that God is able to do that, and he did part the Red Sea. But for the Christian, we don't remember the Red Sea as much as we remember the resurrection.
Right.
That is our miracle. That is our earmark of faith. That is what drives the Christian faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if we don't have the resurrection as Christians, we are people most to be pitied. The resurrection is what allows all of us to continue to move forward. The resurrection is what allows us to believe all the other promises of Jesus are true. I've often taught people, continue to remember that you've got to connect Christmas with Easter. You always need to connect the cradle with the cross. Those two should never be inseparable. So Jesus came into the world to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. The coming into the world is the incarnation. That's Christmas time. God putting on human flesh, God becoming one of us. Then the death on the cross is God's gift to us for the forgiveness of our sins. The perfect God-man, Jesus, dies for our sins. He has to be human to die for our sins. He has to be God because God's the offended party, and God's the one who forgives us of our sin. So Jesus dies on the cross, but if he stays in that tomb, it's a fruitless story. It's a worthless story. It doesn't mean anything whatsoever. But if he is raised from the dead, not only does it prove that the cross is true, that our sins are forgiven, it proves that Jesus is indeed God, because I jokingly tell people, you can't keep a good God down. You can't keep a perfect God down. If Jesus is God, he's got to come back to life. You and I die, folks, we stay in that tomb. But God has to come back to life. He has to be the one who gives us the gift of eternal life. So we as believers in Jesus have to have the resurrection. If we ever have a day of doubt in our minds, we need to remember the resurrection. Remember the story that I read to you in the first segment of Matthew 28, the two women coming to that open tomb. Imagine you're one of those two women, one of the people coming to that early tomb, and you see the stone rolled away. You know that Jesus is not in that tomb. He is alive. It's the greatest gift possible to all humankind. And the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out. He's God. He easily got out. The stone was rolled away to let us in so that we can see the tomb is indeed empty. Our sins are forgiven. Death has been conquered. We need fear nothing, including the COVID-19 crisis. Folks, remember the resurrection. Remember the resurrection. Remember the resurrection. That's today's program. Let's never forget that battle cry. I'm David Chadwick. My wife Marilyn and I will be right back.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench.
Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.